This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Earthwise, Environment and Peace with Justice interviews on Plains FM 96.9.
Welcome to Earthwise. I'm Martin Griffiths. Lois and I are looking forward to today's discussion with retired Christchurch chemistry teacher Graham Townsend. Graham's actually my colleague of many years. Graham is knowledgeable about climate issues and very actively engaged in campaigns to raise awareness of the seriousness of what some call climate chaos, some call climate breakdown, and I think Graham's word just now is climate disruption.
Well, we should add that Graham is also very active in campaigns to convince New Zealanders that facing up to the reality of climate breakdown, it must be given top priority. Welcome to Earthwise, Graham Townsend.
Thank you very much.
Well, Graham, your background in chemistry, can I assume that your scientific expertise led to an awareness that climate issues are serious? Was there any one event or one thing that you've read about that convinced you to focus so much on climate?
Well, not really. It was quite a gradual process. I guess going right back to my time at university, I learned a little bit about the laws of thermodynamics and that you can't get something for nothing.
A good one.
Perpetual motion is impossible. And I've always used those laws to judge any statements by businessmen or economists as to whether they're realistic or total fantasy. So I think that's probably where it started.
Those sort of statements, Graham, make me think of statements like growth can't go on forever.
Well, precisely. Yeah.
Yes, in a finite world, perpetual growth is impossible to everyone, they say, except economists.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, you know, Malthus pointed this out a couple of hundred years ago and people poo-pooed him and still do. But you can't defy the laws of physics. We're no different from any other species. If we overuse our resources, and that includes a stable climate, we're, you know, stacking ourselves up for serious harm in the future, and it's becoming critical.
I suppose, of course, being a teacher is quite tiring and quite time-consuming. Was it after you were able to retire that you were able to get more involved in climate issues?
Well, to some extent, yes. I started to get pretty concerned about things around 2012, 2013, mainly because my internet homepage is the Guardian website, and they're quite good at running environmental issues. So I started to get concerned then. In 2013, I joined 350.org, the Christchurch branch, and started to get a little bit active in terms of climate activism and standing outside banks and waving placards and that sort of thing. In 2015, in my last year of teaching, I was actually asked to teach part of a stage one physical chemistry course, and that included teaching the basics of climate science. Oh. And so that was a final catalyst, really. I thought, I can't be teaching this stuff without taking it seriously. How can you preach it if you're not practicing it too? So that's when I started getting really quite serious about learning more about the science and trying to make a few changes to our own lifestyle.
In fact, these changes, I mean, your own life are relatively recent, only the last 5 or 6 years.
Very much so.
Well, I became aware of climate issues just because I happened to buy a book written by Jeremy Leggett, who's, I think the book's called The Carbon War. It's more about the politics of trying to get the science out there. But it seems to me that the actual knowledge of the danger goes back as far as 2008.
Maybe before that.
I mean, the latest information I've got is that Shell and Exxon, their own scientists, were warning about the effects of climate change, climate disruption, as much as 40 years ago.
Really?
And you can go back even further than that. The science community have been warning about this for a long, long time, over 100 years. But really, I mean, 40 years ago, you can say that physical chemists and climatologists were aware that it was a big issue. And basically, they just shut people up and continued with business as usual.
Well, who shut people up?
I've got a database at home of reputable journalism pointing out that Exxon kept their scientists quiet, that the Koch brothers in the States
have been K-O-C-H, funding... Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. They've been funding denialism for many, many years. And just recently, The Guardian revealed that this Australian mining magnate, Gina Rinehart, contributed $45 million to a climate denial think tank.
Peanuts to her, isn't it?
Yes. So there's big money going into conning us about climate issues. And people fall for it. People fall for it because they don't want to believe in climate disruption because it will affect their lifestyle. And I don't want to believe it either. But, you know...
It's there. It's right in your face.
You can't deny it. It's gutless to deny it.
Part of the psychology used to encourage climate denial is to create doubt. If you just keep saying, some scientists say that, but some others... If you could just keep people with the idea that there's doubt.
Yes, yeah. Well, indeed. That's been one of their cleverest tactics, is to keep sowing doubt. Not all climate scientists agree. Well, as far as I'm aware, something between 97 and 98% of all published papers have concluded that A, climate change is real, B, that it's man-made, and see that the damage is becoming increasingly obvious, and D, that we need an urgent fix.
In fact, you said in your introductory answer to me that, people have been denying it now, aware of this, but now, people like the American administration are actively shutting scientists up, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Trump's administration just think the truth is whatever they want to believe it is. He doesn't really have any objective connection to reality. It's just whatever suits his particular whim at the time. So, his administration is actively shutting down web pages related to climate change.
And he's pointing some... horrible industrialists into very important cabinet positions. He surrounded himself with either neocons or climate change deniers, or promoting oil and corporations.
Hmm. And the sad thing is that probably 30-40% of Americans actually applaud what he's doing, and particularly the conservative stroke fundamentalist Christian American demographic just don't want to know about this, but because I think they think they've got a God-given right to continue with economic growth. Going back to the biblical injunction to sort of multiply and rule the earth. It's quite primitive, it's tribal stuff.
Bizarre, and somehow they believe, why bother the second coming soon anyway?
Yes. Well, that's another one.
That's right.
But do you think we live in an anti-science age?
To some extent, I think that's right. I think the age of the internet has spread an awful lot of conspiracy theories and misinformation, and there's a certain segment of the public who distrust experts. And to some extent, I can see why, because experts can get a bit arrogant. But, you know, just to say, well, all experts don't know what they're talking about, or they're all arrogant, is complete rubbish. It's throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Amazing. I mean, they're quite happy to have an expert doctor attend to them, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. And, I mean, they wouldn't try and...
pilot on their plane.
Yeah, yeah, totally, yeah. Totally.
But and going back to Jeremy Leggett, he was an expert. He had a high job, high-flying position in industry. When he became aware of the permafrost in Russia, the methane underneath, and he actually quit the most,
a dream job for
a scientist to go public with this. And he thought, well, because of who I am and my qualifications, I'll join Greenpeace and I'll let the public know, and everything will change.
Yeah.
And the same with James Hansen. Were you aware when he came to New Zealand?
I wasn't aware at that stage. Probably would have been a bit before I became particularly
active. Yes.
But it was interesting. I was talking to somebody down in Fiordland a few months ago, and he had a jet boat which he loved to drive very fast. And he was, I was saying I was involved in climate activism, and he's saying, oh, all these scientists, they're just doing it to get grant money.
Oh, no.
And I just, I thought, well, what an arrogant insult. Thousands of physical chemists, meteorologists, climatologists, glaciologists, paleontologists.
You name it.
You name it. Statisticians, metrologists. And there's this kind of global conspiracy to lie, to get money. All of these people could be getting much more money if they moved into the private sector.
And James Hansen quit his job to go public. He wrote a book, Storms of Our Grandchildren, I think was it called.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I have nothing but contempt for people who just won't face the truth simply because the truth might impact their lifestyle.
But not facing the truth is going to impact on everybody's lifestyle.
Well, it's going to wreck our kids' lifestyle, that's for sure.
I think it might come sooner. Actually.
Well, it may well. It may well.
Is your jet boat driver still a friend of yours?
Well, he was an acquaintance rather than a friend. I mean, we parted on friendly terms, but I just said, look, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
Mm.
But there we go.
You'd think of what's happening now. I wonder if the problem is language. Talking about global warming on a cold day, you might think you could do with some.
Mm.
And talking about climate change, they'll say, well, climate's always changed. Well, yes. But now Vandana Shiva started saying climate chaos.
Right.
And now we've taken to saying climate breakdown. It's that serious, isn't it?
Well, it is that serious. I mean, the IPCC reports are getting more and more concerning. And let's face it, IPCC is very conservative in its projections because their reports are vetted by politicians as well as scientists, and they have to compromise. Their projections for sea level rise are, I think, 1-point-something millimeters per year, whereas the expertise that I've seen suggests it's probably more like 3 millimeters per year. And by the end of this coming century, or the end of the present century, that's going to mean massive disruption to people. King tides are going to be flooding people's homes. There's going to be huge amounts of people just simply having to move. That's already starting. And the impact on the economy is going to be enormous. So, yes, I think you're right. The whole language of climate change or global warming is totally inadequate to describe what's coming up.
I know when we interviewed Jeanette Fitzsimons a long time ago, she said, we mustn't panic the public. Well, maybe we should panic the public. Look at what people have given up because they're afraid of terrorism. They've given up all their civil liberties. They're allowed to be spied on and the emails interrupted and military everywhere. But this is something that we're afraid to face. And yet we've seen the writing on the wall in so many places already, haven't we?
I know. And I think it really comes down to this childish fantasy we've all got about endless economic growth and business as usual. It's just a cargo cult.
Yeah.
It's a complete fantasy, and yet all governments buy into it. They always say, oh, well, we've got to have growth to provide jobs. We've got to continue with progress. We've got to grow GDP. We've got to provide more jobs, you know. And I think, well, okay, let's take growth to down the road, say 50 years. In 50 years' time, if we continue with growth, even if that was possible, Queenstown would be the size of Christchurch. Christchurch would be bigger than Auckland. Auckland would be bigger than Hong Kong. What Hong Kong would be like, I have no idea. Is anyone actually going to be happier?
The mind bowls at those figures.
It's ridiculous.
Yes, yes.
It's complete fantasy. And our kids will be scavenging through our landfills for lithium and other valuable strategic minerals to maintain their lifestyle. And it's just not possible. And that's the whole climate change, climate disruption, is tied up with our whole fantasy of progress, material progress, endless
consumption,
yes. The glossy magazine lifestyle for everybody. It just ain't going to happen. It's, you know, ever since World War II, we've had a wonderful time. I mean, I'm a baby boomer. I had all my university education paid for. I never had to pay rent for my flat while I was at university. It was all paid for by the government. That's no longer true. You know, the current generations of young people are not going to be as well off as we were. And it's just a downward spiral. I'm sorry. And I think you're right. I think we should panic people.
I think right before you have the break, I think also we should point out it's not a question of something going up 1.5 degrees Celsius. That doesn't sound serious. But it's the enormous increase in the number of storms that's going to take place, and the number of drought, and the spread of diseases.
Yeah.
These sort of things should panic people, and will panic them into taking the whole issue seriously.
Yeah.
Yes, you're listening to Earthwise, broadcasting in Christchurch on Plains FM 96.9, in Hamilton on Free FM, and in Waikanae on Coast Access FM. Today's guest is retired chemistry teacher and climate activist, Graham Townsend.
Well, Graham, you mentioned the 350 campaign.
Mm.
I'm reading about people, maybe young people, in America and England and New Zealand are saying, we are going to do something about this. We're going to bring it up into the public.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I think I know what you're talking about. And the latest iteration of climate activism is called Extinction Rebellion.
Wow.
And that started in the UK. Anyone can Google it and join it if you so wish. They're on Facebook, etc., etc. But it started with a bunch of academics in Britain who realized that governments are just paying lip service to doing anything. The actions that they're taking are nothing like enough to save our kids from a pretty catastrophic future. So they are promoting mass protests, mass civil disobedience, and that is coming to New Zealand as we speak. And I spent most of this morning on the New Zealand web pages related to that, discussing how this might work in New Zealand. But stand by, because there's going to be some fairly serious action, both in terms of mass protests, in terms of civil disobedience, in terms of disruption of business as usual, and possibly media campaigns. Some of us are going to put up some money for newspaper ads, letters to MPs, and we're going to do our damnedest to get this into the public eye.
There have been some demonstrations in Britain, haven't they?
Yes.
On the London Bridge.
Just the other day, they closed, these people closed down 5 bridges across the Thames in London.
I saw that.
Yeah.
But not in the mainstream media. I mean, it's sort of fine.
Certainly didn't reach the media here very much.
But you think it's reaching the younger generation?
I think it is to some extent, yes. I think more younger people are aware of this. and worried by it.
And in the US, there have been some young Americans speaking out, isn't there?
Yes.
I think they've tried to take it to court.
Yes, there are one or two court cases pending. I'm not particularly au fait with where that's getting to, but mm-hmm. I understand that it's still in the pipeline.
It's the pace of the law is so slow.
Oh, I know. I know. Yes.
And speaking of courts, I mean, these corporations, the fossil fuel corporations and the automobile corporations, have kept knowledge suppressed, haven't they? That is leading to deaths already.
Well, these are crimes against humanity.
They definitely are.
And they should be treated as such. And I can see in 30 or 40 years some of these people facing court action in the same way as, you know, ex-Nazis and people like that have faced trials for their, I mean, I'm almost lost for words. It's absolutely criminal, contemptible behavior in hiding this information and disseminating misinformation and half-truths and basically just lying. And, you know, we're all suckered into it and we carry on with business as usual. And it's just not going to happen.
Well, if they face justice, it's if extinction doesn't get them first.
Well, that's right.
So what do we say to the public? How do they get more involved to find out more of what part they can take?
Very good question, because rather than just panicking or shrugging and saying it's too late, we can't do anything, I think there are some positive things that people can do. First of all, Google Extinction Rebellion.
And is that one word?
It's two words, Extinction Rebellion. Just Google it and it'll come up. And you can join the UK version or the New Zealand version. Secondly, you can offset your own household carbon footprint. There are good reforestation schemes, accredited reforestation schemes that you can join. Cutting down your meat intake cuts down your carbon footprint. Write a letter to the paper, write a letter to your MP. It doesn't have to be eloquent.
And writing is better than email, isn't it?
Absolutely. Write a letter. Just get on with doing something.
How about taking the bus to work? I'm a great promoter of public transportation.
Yep, absolutely. If possible, use public transport. You know, there's many, many things that people can do. And outfits like 350, you can join up with them. And we run information evenings where people can learn about more positive action that you can take.
Well, Graham, thank you for talking to us. It's I just want to finish with a bit of news, because to me, I see one of the main drivers of climate change is the militarism of the world. And something that hasn't been reported in New Zealand media that I'm quite excited about. There have been some anti-war demonstrations in the USA. There's been a women's march on Pentagon, totally unprecedented. Right. Some say 1,000, some say 1,500 went, and they let some men join them. And what they have said, our demands are simple, the complete end to the wars abroad, closure of foreign bases, dramatically slash the Pentagon budget to fund healthy social programs here at home. The only good empire is a gone empire. And that would be a wonderful thing to tackle climate issues, wouldn't it be, to get out of the military?
I think so. I totally agree. And wouldn't it be nice if Russia and China did the same?
Yes. Well, I think the whole world, the militarism is the
biggest contribution.
It's what people want
around the world.
It's just tribalism. It's bizarre. Yeah.
So I think it's been quite a good program. Interesting talking to you, Graham. And
thank you for coming.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks very much.
So from us at Earthwise,
goodbye.